news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Beautiful Fat Tuesday yesterday downtown Mobile. A lot of fun. And a lot, but some of the videos that...
Leanna's been sharing.
It's the underbelly of Mardi Gras, people being drunk and misbehaving at places like Waffle House and somewhere along the parade route.
Are you saying that after Mardi Gras parades, someone was drunk and got into a fight at a Waffle House? I just don't see how that's possible, Dan.
Well, number one, there are 1,011 Waffle Houses in Mobile.
Uh-huh.
So you got that?
Yes.
So suddenly the odds shift in my favor.
It's actually the most likely place, right? When you think about it.
Exactly, because that's where you go. That's where you eat when you don't care what it tastes like.
Oh, but I will not have this slander, Waffle House slander.
No,
this.
I'm only kidding there. But it's a far cry from Ruth's Chris. But and of course it's the end of the night, and a lot of people have had too much to drink, and the spaces are limited at Waffle House.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you can sit anywhere, and it's all it's tight quarters, and. Those booths at Waffle House were designed by people who make prisons, and so it leads to tension, and off we went.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We just got a text from someone in the know, and I had no idea about this. We'll have to confirm it, but someone texting us that a member of the FM Talk 106.5 family actually knocked out with a bag of beads yesterday during the parading. So I'll have to talk to my sources and see how true this is.
Well,
that maybe someone connected to FM Talk 106.5 was knocked unconscious, do I have that right, with a bag of beads. That's not good.
So hang on, this has now become number one of our three big things.
Yeah.
So yesterday we had a member of FM Talk 106.5 that was parading.
Well, we had possibly at least one person parading, but several people were at the parades. I don't want to get too specific because, like I said, I don't know how accurate this report is.
Okay.
I have it from on good sources, though.
Uh-huh. What's the recovery been? Is the person feeling?
Oh, great! Now we have people texting in who they hope it was. That's a member of the family that got knocked out.
That's not nice
in the least. But
okay. Wow!
So that took a serious and close turn to the FM Talk family. Hopefully, I'll be checking on this person to make sure they're okay this morning.
Okay, 9 after 8 o'clock. Okay, let's seriously look at the latest going on in Ukraine. I know there's a lot of shelling going on today, right?
Yeah, there's. We're now in entering day seven in the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and some of the latest here. We're starting to get numbers for fatalities,
mm-hmm.
and we're not sure, you know, exactly how accurate these numbers are. Some of the latest stuff here. Now, the mayor of Mariupol in eastern Ukraine, that's a port city on the Sea of Azov, the mayor there said that a Russian military onslaught has resulted in mass casualties, but he did not give a specific number. Vadim Boychenko said the enemy occupying forces of the Russian Federation have done everything to block the exit of civilians from the city of 500,000 people. We've gotten different numbers. So the UN earlier came out with their number of civilians killed in Ukraine so far. They have listed 136 civilians, including 13 children. The UN also says an additional 400 have been injured. Those numbers obviously expected to rise. The Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights spokesperson, that is a heck of a title, Liz Throssell, said most of these casualties were caused by the use of explosive weapons with a wide impact area. This includes shelling from heavy artillery and multiple launch rocket systems and airstrikes. So those are the numbers from the UN, 136 civilians killed, including 13 children. Now, Ukraine has said that...
Their number's way bigger than that.
Well, regarding soldiers, now that was a civilian number we had there. Ukraine is reporting nearly 6,000 dead Russian personnel. They've specifically said 5,840 Russian personnel killed, 30 aircraft, 31 helicopters downed, 211 tanks, 60 cisterns, 3 UAVs, those are drones, 1 anti-aircraft missile system they said they've taken down, 862 armored vehicles of different types, 85 artillery pieces, and you go on down the line, 2 vessels they say they've taken down, and 355 vehicles. So those are the numbers that Ukraine is saying, 6,000 dead Russians. Now, we also have some numbers that just came in here, and if I could scroll to it in time, Ukraine is opposing that UN number for civilians killed. Ukraine is saying that they've had more than 2,000 civilians killed by the Russian invasion.
Right, that's the number I'm looking at right there. I was going to get to that if you didn't, but their state emergency service says the number is 2,000, probably not exactly, but right around 2,000. That's a lot of civilians to this point, but we're now in day 7.
And there is and the guess is still rolling in for who got hit at the parade yesterday. Let me get past that, because I was having a good conversation with someone earlier on the text line. Here you go. Gus said, and it has been a little strange here in 2022. I think I mentioned this some yesterday. Gus said, I have not seen any combat footage, no infantry engagements, no tank battles, not one Javelin missile killing a tank, no drone footage. He said he has seen faked photos, staged photos, aftermath of reported missile strikes. And Gus says, what I'm seeing in this age of video tech is pathetically lacking of war footage, mostly propaganda. And there has been propaganda on both sides out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you see the Ukrainian propaganda, what most people seem to be doing, and it's interesting watching this in real time, and I know it's happened, you know, it's happened forever, but usually you're not as aware of it. Like the ghost of Kiev, you know, we were wondering if that was a real story. There's another Ukrainian soldier they said has just killed, dozens, maybe even scores of Russian soldiers. Whether or not that is actually real or not is a question, but a lot of people seem content to let it slide as long as the propaganda, if it is propaganda, behooves the Ukrainian war effort, right?
Yeah.
If it discourages Russians and encourages Ukrainians.
If it's doing its job, right?
But does that mean that propaganda should be allowed? You know, should fact-checkers be fact-checking the Ukrainian people? Even though we're on, you know, the Ukraine side, a lot of people are, I shouldn't say most people, although it feels that way. But
it feels like all the network news is.
And in regards to what Gus said, it is a little strange. Now, if you've watched what's been going on, if you've watched any of the news channels, I know yesterday you probably saw the Russian missile hit that TV tower in Kiev. They said that resulted in the deaths of about 5 people.
Right.
They told folks, I don't know how much warning they gave them ahead of time, but Russia did say that they were going to do that yesterday prior to at least give off that impression that they were trying to limit civilian casualties, right?
Right. And so does Russian get away with war crimes by saying, hey, man, we let them know 10 minutes in advance, get the heck out of there.
But,
you know, I don't think so.
But what's a little more disconcerting and a lot more disconcerting are these the footage of the cluster bombs over Kharkiv that I saw earlier this week. Now, these cluster bombs, they are not, you know, they're not hitting like a Moab or a Foab, you know, the mother of all bombs, and then whatever I guess that'd be father of all bombs. I never bothered to check the acronym, but they don't hit like that. These cluster bombs, and they can be all different kinds, and there have been cluster bombs forever, but the ones that were shelling Kharkiv just seemed to be doing, you know, like they could take out a car, possibly.
Right.
And which could certainly kill at least a couple people.
Right.
But it's about the spreading that out and doing as much damage as possible, and really kind of putting the fear into Ukraine that a lot of civilians could and will die from this battle, and potentially get them to give up in the face of mass civilian casualties. But to this point, it sure doesn't seem like Ukraine is willing to do that at all.
I saw a narrative on the, you know, you watch, they bring on an expert, he's got a narrative, he's got something to say, you know, some angle on all this. And I saw the angle that I think we were talking about, it might have been Monday, when we were talking about the and I hadn't seen it presented on the news until we talked about it. It probably had been, but just the morale of some of these young Russian troops, right? That their heart wasn't all the way into it. You know, you've heard about the text from the soldier to his mother, and he later died and all that. But there are stories now coming out about the morale of these Russian troops intentionally
punching holes in their gas tanks.
Yeah.
This is a Pentagon official that, you know, again, true or not, it's feeding into the narrative that the Russians are demoralized, mm-hmm. some of the young Russian soldiers. Some Russian troops are surrendering to Ukrainian forces as morale drops. Insider reported that. The troops appear to be self-sabotaging in order to avoid combat. This is an unnamed senior Pentagon official said, per the New York Times, for what it's worth. The official added that many of the Russian troops are young and inexperienced in combat, and they're facing dwindling food and fuel resources. Yep. I think all of that could be true. I don't. You know,
stationed by the border for so long.
Yeah.
And really, you know, if you kind of if you try thinking about it and putting yourself in the boots of these Russian soldiers, first off, the discrepancy you mentioned there. There were stories of these soldiers, you know, doing TikTok videos as they parachuted into Ukraine, mm-hmm. initially, playing around on that dating app Tinder, mm-hmm. going into the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you have stories that Ukraine is passing out RPGs to grandmas, you know, to help propel or to help repel the Russian forces. But if you are one of these young Russian soldiers, now, I'm sure most of them have lived hard lives. Russia is a tough as nails place to live. It can't be easy, but it's not like these people live in North Korea, right? They have had the internet. They were TikToking and on Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
They are about as global as Russia has ever gotten, well, as far as being able to see and talk to people from across the globe.
Not only are they on the internet, they're among the best hackers out there, so they're very good on the internet.
And the quality of life, while it's probably not to our level, it's better than what it's looking like when they return to Russia, mm-hmm. with all of these sanctions. So if you are that Russian soldier, how could you feel great about being tasked with, and I know there's some that could be, but you have to think there are some that are just completely demoralized when being told they have to travel into a country with a lot of people that are just like them and just like their moms and dads and brothers and sisters, and to kill them. Indiscriminately.
Not only
that's a big ask.
It really is. Not only so many of the Ukrainians that are, you know, basically they're the same tribe of people. You look at them and they look like the guy that lives next door, but they actually speak Russian. So when you're engaging with them, or if, you know, when you're you hear Russian all around you, you hear Russian speak, and the accent and the language all around you, it's just got to feel weird.
So is that Russian ultranationalism? Is that enough fuel for these Russian soldiers to continue fighting the way they have? And these Russian oligarchs, these billionaires, are they willing to give up their lifestyles for Putin's dream?
Yeah.
Has he convinced them? Are these people willing to fight for weeks and weeks and months and years?
And the oligarchs, are they willing to, like you say, sacrifice that lifestyle? Or could Putin be taken down within? That's a possibility as well. 819 at FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 825. And the Anchor Cross Cancer Foundation, our friends there, partnering with the local playwright Laura Fissenmeyer to present her play Cancer is a Pain in My... I'll leave that to Dalton. It's going to be at the South Baldwin Community Theater on March 5th. It's a lighthearted account of Laura Fissenmeyer having cancer in her recovery. And anyway, we'll talk with Laura herself, right?
That's right, yeah. Coming up at in the next segment, we'll discuss that. And also Jeff Poor joining us at the end of this hour. And maybe we'll bat around with him what went on last night in D.C. as President Joe Biden held his first State of the Union. And a lot to discuss, I guess, from last night. Now, I'll be honest, my wife and I, the kids were away for the first time this week.
First time ever.
Ever, yeah. So we actually, we were traveling around Mobile last night trying to find a place to eat. And I did not watch much of the State of the Union. I had to get home and then watch the recap.
You
and then
didn't miss much.
Read a lot about it this morning. But I do have plenty of cuts from that, and I did pay a lot of attention. But Biden, obviously the central theme became the Russian invasion of Ukraine. I don't know whether that is a good thing or bad thing for Biden, because if Russia had yet to invade Ukraine, then what was he, you know, going to go on about? Was he just going to talk about January 6th the whole time, or what exactly?
How much? I only saw the first half hour. So did he hit on January 6th much?
I don't have any clips from him discussing
that.
I think it may have come up at one point. Anyone who paid attention to the entire speech, please let us know. But I do know that he went after Putin and went after him a lot last night. Here's a bit from Biden.
He thought he could roll into Ukraine and the world would roll over. Instead, he met with a wall of strength he never anticipated or imagined.
Now, he did, he got everyone, and there were, again, a million standing ovations. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, if you know someone who has never seen a State of the Union before, and you ask them to watch one, it's so different from reality because you have it's so partisan, right? And it's the same when Trump was in office, Obama, mm-hmm. Bush. You've got half of the crowd that claps for every dang thing that comes up. Sometimes everyone has to get up if it's a universal truth, quote unquote, like backing Ukraine. If you don't get up to clap for Ukraine, then you're the jerk out there.
Yeah.
But you have like even Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi had some really awkward moments where they were getting up to clap. What was the burn pit thing where Biden was talking about the cancer of his son Beau who passed away, and he was referencing burn pits? But it was such a weird look for Nancy Pelosi, who was right behind him, who was giddy and getting up to clap, mm-hmm. and just looked super, super awkward. But you're right. For the most part, in the beginning, he focused on Putin. There were a lot of gaffes last night. Here's Biden talking about Putin and then getting his words mixed up on the teleprompter.
He's unleashed violence and chaos. But while he may make gains on the battlefield, he'll pay a continuing high price over the long run. And a pound of Ukrainian people, the proud, proud people, pound for pound, ready to fight with every inch of energy they have.
So a few slip-ups, but one thing a lot of people were wondering, and it's maybe a mystery that won't be solved for a long time.
The end of the speech.
Was the very end of the speech. Biden wraps things up. I have the full quote in context, but that really doesn't add a whole lot to it either. Here's Biden wrapping his speech.
Thank you. Go get him.
So that was the last thing he said, go get him, before he went to start shaking hands. Some people wondering, you know, with the speech so heavily centered around what Putin is doing, was he talking about going to get Putin? Some people I've talked to think that Biden has just lost his mind and for some reason thought he was that was the first thing you said, actually. You weren't the first person I heard it from, that he thought he was talking to a football team in the locker room. Get him.
Guest speaker Joe Biden.
My guess, what I think is most likely, and someone else also agreeing with me on the text line, either he read that off the teleprompter, which I guess could be possible. I think he had an earpiece in. Maybe his Secret Service, maybe someone else saying, you know, speech is over. Go get him, as in, go get the president.
And he repeated it.
I don't know. I'd love to know exactly what he meant there.
It's 8:30, FM Talk 106.5. Local playwright Laura Bisenmeyer is our guest in 5 minutes.
On FM Talk 106.5, and thank you for listening to Mobile Mornings. Right now, I want to talk with Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great as the city, really the region, kind of, after this Mardi Gras season starts to recover today, and of course you have Ash Wednesday and Lent, it's things are looking good around here. How are things looking at McConnell Automotive today?
They're looking great. I didn't join the festivities yesterday, so we're just going to have fun here today. Y'all can check all of our inventory out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We got plenty of used GM certified used. Don't forget, we got that 22 Corvette. If you want to just come look at it, just sit in the showroom. It is a fine ride. But we're going to get all the stuff in that we traded in over the weekend, and hope everybody had, have a safe Mardi Gras, had a good hot Mardi Gras, and we're going to be here, hopefully, sell a few cars.
Yeah, speaking of that Corvette, did you say, is that a convertible?
It's a removable top.
Removable top.
A hard top, removable hard top.
And I can't think of a better time of year right now for that with the way the weather's been out there, so that's outstanding. But you have a great selection online.
That's right. You know, we got a 22 Corvette, got an 11 Corvette, I think. And so we traded it in the other day, so y'all can check all that stuff out online at McConnell Automotive.com.
Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louis Erratic. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. You'll also find him online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
We've got an event coming up that we wanted to highlight that's coming up this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday night, the Anchor Cross Cancer Foundation, really a great group, help those with cancer deal with their financial needs in battling cancer. They have partnered up with a local playwright, Laura Fisenmeyer. Laura, have I got that right?
You got it exactly right.
Wow.
It's one of a thousand.
That's a lot of syllables for me to ace. Laura,
I had to love my husband a lot.
So I see you've got the sense of humor of a playwright. Anyway, they're going to present this her play, Cancer is a Pain in My Dalton?
You could say it. You want me to, Cancer is a Pain in My Ass.
And,
that's the name of the play.
So it's, for some reason, after 30-some years of doing this on the radio, I just wasn't comfortable. But anyway, it's going to be at the South Baldwin Community Theater on March the 5th. And Laura joins us on the phone now.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on with us this morning, Laura.
Oh, I've been looking forward to it.
So this will be this Saturday. Is this the first performance, 7 o'clock Saturday night in Gulf Shores at the South Baldwin Community Theater?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's going to be quite the evening. Not only do you get to see the play, but we're going to feed you Coastal Community College. Their culinary division is doing a wonderful array of heavy hors d'oeuvres, and desserts are included with your ticket. And it is their service project for this semester.
That's great. Some heavy hors. You know, I only do heavy hors d'oeuvres, Laura.
I never do any of those light hors d'oeuvres.
No light hors d'oeuvres for me.
I don't even want to see a vegetable.
Do they exist at all?
Yeah, exactly. And also, I'm seeing a silent auction and commemorative tea search, and very importantly, cancer screening information available there as well.
Yes, it's going to, again, quite the evening.
Yeah.
And this play is not a downer.
Mm-hmm.
This play is very uplifting. Because I am the cancer patient. I was the cancer patient. And I am a cancer survivor now. And this is about a journey of from diagnosis to that survivorship at the end.
Laura, if you don't mind me asking, what kind of cancer were you diagnosed with?
I had, and this is where you'll understand the title of the play, I had anal cancer.
Okay.
Let me tell you, when you have anal cancer, the bidet becomes your best friend.
I'm sure.
Laura, what I love is that you're able to bring some humor to this, and you mentioned it's a humorous play, and that's what I've found. And any cancer survivor I've talked with, or someone who is going through cancer. If they're able to, they kind of have to give. Whoever they're talking to permission to kind of, take it a little bit lighter, because it's such and so often such a, it's a sad thing to hear when someone you know or love has been diagnosed with cancer. And I love that you're able with this to take your story, add a little humor to it, but at the same time, you're bringing attention to, why it's important to get screened and get checked and all these other things.
If one person gets screened and finds out that they have a cancer and catch it early because of this play, it's been a success. And we really want to help Anchor Cross. And every penny that we raise with this show is going to Anchor Cross. And they do such wonderful work.
They really do.
I was going to tell you that my oncologist told me that I did as well with my cancer because I had such a good support system and a good sense of humor.
Wow.
That's evident talking to you right now that you have a great sense of humor. So, Laura, did you begin writing this play while you were fighting cancer? How exactly did you decide to make this a play?
Well, I've been a playwright for about 25 years. But I had the cancer back in 18, and it was a journey, and then we had COVID, and I was locked down, and I said, It had been on my heart. You know, I hope it doesn't matter that I mention this kind of thing. God placed it on my heart to write this play. He even gave me the name of the play. And I said, COVID is the perfect time to write it. And it was hard to write because it brought everything back so strongly. And it took me almost a year to write it. But it was well worth it. Every word, every tear shed, it was worth it. And the play has legs. It's been done in Atlanta on Zoom, but by the Merely playwrights over in Atlanta have done it. And it's being done coming up. It's going to be done by the International Center of Women Playwrights as a Zoom play.
You know, it's interesting.
It's a play. If you go to it, you're going to be touched. Because there is not a family in this country that has not been touched by cancer.
Laura, it's the word that I didn't want to say on the air was actually that was God's word to you, right?
That was God's word to me.
So I shouldn't have trouble saying the word that God put in the title of the play.
He put it on my heart.
Interesting.
Okay, and I said if people are offended, maybe they need to think about why they're offended, because it's a body part that God gave us.
Laura, talk about how, you know, some of the other successes you've had, just curiously, about as a playwright.
I've been fortunate. I have a play that I wrote about Alzheimer's, and it's a comedy, too, called Candy Bar Memories, and it's been performed all over the United States, and it's often been performed as a fundraiser for the Alzheimer's Association, and it's called Candy Bar Memories. And it's about a woman who has Alzheimer's who passes away. And when you get to heaven, God has saved all your memories in a candy bar. And as you eat that candy bar, you get your memories back. and we thought about having a Kleenex confession at that play, because it's a tearjerker.
Oh, boy.
But it's a good play. And it was actually done on NPR out in Spokane, Washington.
Excellent.
That's outstanding. Well, Laura, you sound like an absolute delight. This play sounds hilarious, and it also sounds like, these days I sometimes tear up at the drop of a hat. I might not cry, but I'll tear up at the drop of a hat, and that sounds like there's some potential with this one, too. So remind folks again, that's this Saturday at the South.
This Saturday, tickets are $40 a piece.
Okay.
But it includes food. And every single penny of that is going to Anchor Cross. And you can buy tickets online at sbct.biz. That's South Baldwin Community Theater .biz. SBCT.
You're also going to have a
matinee performance.
Matinee on Sunday. If you can't get tickets, if you cannot get tickets for Saturday night, you can attend it on Sunday. And that matinee's at 2:30. The play Saturday nights at 7 p.m.
All right.
And go online, go on Anchor Crosses Foundation, and get the link.
Laura, thanks for your time this morning. Congratulations on a wonderful career, and thank you for helping raise money for Anchor Cross this weekend.
Well, I would love to see you guys down here.
Sounds good.
You'd enjoy it.
It'll be in my rotary of possibilities. I can tell you that.
Thank you, Laura.
It'll be in the realm of possibilities.
Yes,
I understand.
Thank you now.
You have a fabulous day.
You too.
Thank you for having me.
Laura Fizenwright. I'm sorry. I'm losing it there. Laura Fizenmeyer there, the playwright for Cancer is a Pain in My A. Now, the way they wrote it here, $$$.
Yeah.
So maybe that's how it's actually pronounced.
But God put it on her heart.
Yeah. A lighthearted
Cancer's
play
a pain
about
in my
cancer.
Ass.
Mm-hmm.
So I was afraid to say that, and God put it on her heart.
Yeah,
so
if God told her to say it, then you could say it, right?
There's my point.
Exactly. So that does sound awesome, and we're obviously, we've been close with Anchor Cross Cancer Foundation here at FM Talk 106.5 for some time now, and this play raising money for them, so that's fantastic to hear. Hey, coming up, we'll put a bow on this edition of Mobile Mornings, and we'll talk with Jeff Poor, see who he has coming up. Yeah. And also, I know... On the text line, I mentioned that someone in the FM Talk family was hit by a bag of beads.
Knocked out cold. Yeah.
There are many guesses on the text line of who that may be. We'll have to ask Jeff to his face whether it was his face that was hit with this bag of beads.
It's on the way. 847 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. FM Talk 106.5, the audience that admires and, shall I even say, loves Jeff Poore and his political knowledge in the middle of the day, very concerned for his health this morning. Can we get into that right now?
Let's get into it, yeah, because I opened the hour with someone texting in. Someone, let's just call it a really well-placed source,
yep,
who I believe, and this has since been cross-referenced, and I do know for a fact, someone in the FM Talk family was knocked out, apparently, by a bag of Mardi Gras beads yesterday. I had to leave it open-ended because I'm not sure if this person would like me to say it on the air. With that being a question, a lot of people, you know, chiming in on the text line with who they think the member of the FM Talk family who was knocked out by a bag of beads. And I got to say, I'm disgusted with the people who think that it was Jeff Poore who was knocked out.
I'm disgusted with the people that were hoping it was Jeff Poore.
Yeah, well, exactly. And
you know, I don't like that.
Jeff joins us as he does every Wednesday. Jeff, that was not you that was hit by the bag of beads yesterday, right?
No, it wasn't me, and I'm disgusted by people that think that I'm some kind of like cowpoke from the outside that came just stumbled my way into Mobile yesterday and picked up the microphone.
Yeah, I mean, let me be the Dean Young to your Roy Moore here for a second.
Do you have to do that?
And Jeff has more knowledge of politics, state politics in Alabama, than I think I could ever hope to gather. Yep. Jeff, how many you've been through the state and around the state into every county now at least once? How many times?
At least three times.
Three times.
I would say there's like Lamar County or Cherokee County.
Why bother?
Three or four times.
So all of these people, and you get it every day. I'm always surprised.
It's the Mobile thing. So right. Look, listen, guys. Number one, I got a degree from the University of South Alabama. Mm-hmm. I used to chase tweakers out of the Brunos at airport and university where I worked for 3.5-4 years as a night shelf stalker. I know this town. I'm not some guy that just showed up and got a radio show. I've been writing for Lady M since 2005. So for you to go, you guys should go on the text line like Jeff Poore, he's like a rookie in a Mardi Gras parade. I mean, come on, yeah. That's not true.
Well, you've set the record straight emotionally, I can say. And getting back to the point, you didn't get knocked out at Mardi Gras at Fat Tuesday yesterday.
No, back in my drinking days, I would have like got knocked out and rolled back over and just started like crushing like Natty Lights or something. I mean.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know if
I know my way around a Mardi Gras parade.
I don't know if I'm more anxious to see pictures of you in your drinking days or video. Oh, that'd be nice.
Either.
or as a like a 20-year-old working the back shelves of Bruno's on Spring Hill.
Just be glad there was no like TikTok or none of that.
Yeah.
Like Instagram nonsense back then. I mean, it was like Facebook, kind of, but not really.
Right.
Gus bringing this back to our rights as Americans. He says, ban high-capacity bags of beads. a good one there, Gus. Several people trying to guess who it is that was hit with the bag of beads. Maybe you'll find out by this weekend. And another one says who Jeff maybe hopes. And I know, Jeff, you wish ill will on no one. So you don't, you don't wish that it was anyone you know that was hit by this bag of beads, right? You're not that kind of guy.
Maybe Dean Young.
We're trying to keep you away from all that.
Maybe there was just like a sign that said USA, South Alabama on it or something.
Well, how about this? So did the president of the United States, did he appear in front of the nation like he'd been hit by a bag of beans last night? Because there were parts of his presentation that I was like, what's going on?
He had a lot of issues, yeah.
That was a struggle. That might have been like me getting hit with a bag of beads, having to sit through that. It was not one of his best performances, but we're getting where there's more of those not best performances than there are best performances at this stage of his career, and he's at the top. So what does that tell us about our country right now?
Did the injection of the Russian invasion into Ukraine into last night's State of the Union, did that help the president's cause or hurt it?
Nothing. I think it's all baked in. It gives the right a lot of ammo to hit him with. Maybe on the left. you know, you had the Rashida Tlaib official response, but like that it didn't go far left enough, even though there's a lot of climate change hocus pocus in there. I think for, you know, and I keep saying this about the Democratic Party in 2022, it's too big of a tent. You can't please everybody in the Democratic Party.
Right.
And you have a lot of people that are just not happy with the leadership of the Biden administration.
I don't know if he was looking directly at Joe Manchin when he said we need to fund the police and some of his other quote-unquote centrist comments. Is anyone buying that?
I just it came out of nowhere, right?
It did.
Well, and pollsters have been pretty smart about this on the Democrat side. Hey, we got to knock this defund the police stuff off. It is not working for us. It's or maybe it works in the inner city, but here's a dirty little secret, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get those votes anyway. This is making us look bad at flyover states. Let's roll that back.
And even the border, when he brought up that we have to secure our borders, that was the Dan fell off the sofa moment right there. So what did you make of that, Jeff? Were you able to secure yourself at wherever you were seated?
I thought he was trolling us, honestly, or there was a teleprompter mishap or something. Like, you know, there's a problem at the border? What are you talking about? It's fine down there.
And before we get into who you have on the show today, go get him. That seems to have kind of hijacked the conversation at the very end. And he did have several gaffes, but to close out by saying, thank you, go get him. What was that a reference to? Yeah. Do you know?
Maybe he's talking to the guy with the license plate up in Blount County.
Might be.
FJB. I don't know. It was kind of it was fun. The more fun part of that was watching what all these left of center media types are trying to translate that for, you know, for their metropolitan audiences. Well, that's what they say in the Rust Belt to each other or whatever.
Hey, quickly, in 20 seconds, your guests today include?
We got Dean Odell, who believes the earth is flat, coming up. He's running for governor. That ought to be good. Trip Hetman, former state senator, coming up. The president of the state senate, Greg Reed. And as we do every Wednesday, Sean Ross.
Hey, we will have no flat earther slander on Mobile Mornings, Jeff. You can save that for the 9 o'clock hour.